In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul tells the Ephesians that they were saved by grace, and not by good works. They were saved by grace. Of course, the thing is, we can come up with an idea of what we need to be saved from and completely change the meaning of what St. Paul is revealing to the Ephesians. If we think that we need to be saved from being damned because of our guilt for Adam's sin, if we think that's what salvation is, and we have been saved from that, then we don't hear the rest of what St. Paul is saying. We have been saved. The question is whether or not we will live the life of the salvation that we have been given. We can be very, very religious about something that we have chosen and applied according to our own interpretation from wherever we happen to be spiritually at the time, instead of receiving a revelation of the meaning of our lives as they have been saved according to the original teaching and life of those who have lived this salvation out during the 2,000 years before our time. We can become fixated on a particular self-serving misinterpretation of things. And the misinterpretation that our salvation simply boils down to being saved from not going to hell after we die. Is that a self-serving interpretation? I say that it is. Because it leaves us with the rest of our lives to live. St. Paul's meaning is quite different. We can be very, very religious and dead to God, dead to the new life that Jesus Christ has accomplished for each and every one of us. And if we are dead to God, then our religious devotion is a devotion to ourselves. And all of our devotion is a religious devotion to ourselves, and we miss the mark of living the life that Jesus Christ came into the world in order to open for us so that we could live that life. Not so we could be saved in the end and live a meaningless life where we don't participate in the reality of the salvation that God has given us for all of the years of our lives, but instead we are constantly tempted to try to find meaning in the world, because what meaning does our life have if we are already saved in the end? And we can't participate in that salvation. St. Paul told the Ephesians that God, who is rich in mercy, in love, loved us when we were dead, living in amartia, living in sin. Not that legalistic version of sin. Living in amartia, living in a condition of missing the mark during the course of our lives, on a daily basis, missing the mark, amartia. It's what the translation into Greek of the Hebrew scriptures used for the word sin, amartia, to miss the mark. We can live an entire life of missing the mark, confident that in the end, we won't go to hell. But we've been living a life of death for all of the years of our lives in this world. God came into the world in order to save us and return to us a life that we can live and live fully. Not so we could bide our time being assured that even though our life is meaningless because we are sinners incapable of participating in our salvation actively, in the end we won't be damned. What kind of a faith is that? What does it have to do with life? With the life that Christ God gave to us to live. God loved us when we were already dead in amartia, dead in a condition of living life by missing the mark. He has given us a new life. It has been accomplished. That's the past tense. Our lives have been saved. Our lives are saved in Christ. Our lives, whether we live them or not, are hidden in Christ. We could live those lives, but it's up to us whether we do it or not. The way we understand things in our secular society today, we believe we have to create ourselves. Who am I? Who do I want to be in the end? How shall I go about choosing the way of life and the things that I prefer in order to create myself? And there are even those who have become Orthodox and decided, Orthodox believe that God will help me to create myself. And they begin to come to confession and to communion. Say, God is helping me to create myself day by day. I am becoming more and more Christ-like. No, that's been accomplished. God has created us in Himself. We have been recreated in Christ. It's a matter of whether or not we're living that life or not that He has given us to live. It's for us to live that life. We don't create ourselves. We have been created. Created and recreated. Our created nature has been saved in Christ, and that life is there ready for us to live as soon as we begin to turn away from the effort to try to create ourselves all over again in the image and likeness of the world. As human beings, after what God has done, becoming incarnate, destroying death on the cross, arising from the dead in our humanity, ascending in our humanity, and sending the Holy Spirit so that we, in His humanity, in His new humanity as the new Adam, could live the life that He has given us to live, the life that He has saved so that we can live it. It's not according to the timeline of our biography. We can begin living that life whenever we decide to abandon this illusion, this delusion of creating ourselves. God has already fully made us in His likeness and His image. I've heard this expression, name it and claim it. We could apply that to this new life that we have been given. Name it. The name of this new life is myself in Christ. That's the name. Claim it. Live that life. Repudiate anything that is contradictory to that life. That is, anything that is contradictory to God and His holiness, because we are created to be holy, and we have already been recreated, and we are holy in Christ. That person already exists, that true self that we are. God has recreated us, past tense. It's not a matter of our creating it ourselves. Whether we accept it or not, as St. Paul says, we are His workmanship. We are Christ's workmanship, already recreated. Created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works. What does that mean? It doesn't mean good works because we're trying to become something that we are not. Christ God has made us what we are created to be. We are created so that we can live in the world as the persons that we are and do the good work of living our life. That is the good work. Each one of us has been given a life to live in Christ actively. It comes down to the specifics of a daily watchfulness, lest we betray who we are in Christ. A watchfulness for preference for life and against the indulgence of whatever temptations we prefer, because we all prefer certain temptations. It's all a matter of preference. We are tempted by those things that we prefer rather than doing the good work of living the life that we have been given. That's the good work. When I was 16, I discovered Ayn Rand. At 73, I cannot believe she is still read. It took me about a year to figure out what was wrong with her and abandon her and start looking for something more real, something less made up out of thin air and passions and desires. And I had plenty of them at 16, believe me. According to her, and there is a sizable portion of those in our country who believe these things she teaches and preaches, life is about my achievement, by myself. As for others, they are worthy or unworthy of my admiration. I value them or don't value them. My choosing or my rejection of them as worthy or unworthy of my appreciation. But mainly, life is about their admiration of me. Others are my friends, my enemies. my wife, my husband, my lovers, plus hundreds of other extras in my life that have nothing to do with me and are therefore unimportant. I have nothing to do with them. Of course, the direct contradiction of that is the traditional Christian idea, and the Judaic idea before that, that God created us as human. And we are, each one of us, inseparable from others. And none of us can stand aside from the others and say, here am I. Here is my life in separation and distinction from the life of others. Yes, there is a beginning to that way of life. It was the rebellion of Lucifer, who became Satan. For such a person, there is a center to my life, and that center is myself. Don't ask me to betray myself, the center of my life. Everything else has got to fit into that. Otherwise, it's not important. It's not even right. Rand would say, it's blasphemous to accept anything that is not centered on me. At least she spoke clearly. She didn't hedge. When we fast, we fast from being the imaginary, admirable center of our own life. The particulars may have to do with food or the appreciation that we expect from others or our own vanity as we think about ourselves, but it's always fasting from that. And of course, the material archetype of that is to eat food, gluttony. But our real gluttony is for the admiration of others and being able to admire ourselves in the mirror of our own reflection. I don't understand how someone can spend a life in that kind of moral and spiritual confusion. But it has become a movement virtually. After all these decades, I can't believe it. In my first search, rejecting Rand, I discovered Frank Lloyd Wright. The hero of Ayn Rand's novel, The Fountainhead, was an architect. I wanted to find the real architect behind Howard Roark, and I discovered Frank Lloyd Wright. It was a step up. To make a long story short, Wright's motto of life is, life is truth. Life is truth. What is truth? Truth is life. Don't you see, this close to what we've just said about the Orthodox Christian understanding that the truth of our life is the living of the life that we have been given. So it was close, it was closer. It was something beyond myself. A life that was yet to be lived. Life is truth. Jesus Christ, we would say as Christians, he is truth. He is truth because it is through him that we are able to live life, live a true and noble and holy life. That's how they fit together. It took another decade after my discovery of Frank Lloyd Wright for me to be married, have children, and experience the moral and spiritual catastrophe that was the period of time between 1965 and 1975. At the end of that catastrophe, I engaged in a new search, much more desperate than the ones that I had before. And again, to make a long story short, the truth is this. Life in Christ is truth. The living of life in Christ, that's what truth is. Jesus Christ stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, what is truth? What is truth? And truth stood before him. And that truth that is Jesus Christ is a truth that each one of us is created and recreated in Christ in order to live. We have to live it personally, as the persons that we are. That's what it means. Personal doesn't mean things that belong to me. It's the fact that I am a person amongst all of the human race that God created when he created mankind. Each one of us is a free person, and we have a life to live, and we can only live that life freely in Christ. God searches out the motives in everything that we do. The motives make a difference. And the motive is intended to come from his life, from his holiness, for ourselves as we are in Christ. St. John of the Ladder points out that a rich and luxurious spiritual growth that others can see can be fed by vile underground springs. Others can look at a person and see a person who is wonderful, impressive, has great capacities, is important even in the life of the church. But what is the source of that luxuriant growth? Is it life hidden in Christ? Or is it fed by underground worldly springs of passion and desire? The commitment to become and make something of ourselves that others can admire. In the 7th century, Maximus the Confessor said that fasting, even strong fasting, the strongest possible fasting, charity that gives without limit, hospitality, grand hospitality, are good by nature. But if they are done for self-esteem or self-glorification, then they are not good. And they are not the work of living the life in Christ that we have been given. Our works are blessed only when they are done from that life in Christ that God recreated, that already exists, that we betray by living in ways that contradict who we are in Christ. Life in Christ, the living of life, is a human divine sacrament. We are called to live a holy life, not because we are holy separately from God, but because we are only holy in Christ. That life has already been accomplished. The enemy, death, has already been overcome. That life is there for us to begin living. It takes constant inward rejection of the world, but it is there for us to live. Life in Christ is a raising up of all things in thanksgiving to God. We can do that only because Jesus Christ did it in the upper room. He took all things and made part of himself, raised them up, gave thanks, and then gave them to us as our communion in him, by our living the life that he enables us to live in the world. A living communion in the world, a living communion with Christ God through that life that he has given us to live. And the living of that life is our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.